Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 25. In verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. When it says talent, it's not talking about an ability like a natural talent, like some people can sing, some people can play an instrument. It's talking about a quantity, and often it was a quantity of gold. The quantity was equal to roughly 90 pounds, just over 90 pounds, just over 40 kilos of gold. So he gave them quite a bit. And he gave each one according to their ability, perhaps according to their capacity, according to their skill, what have you. He gave each one and he expected them to buy and sell. And if they bought and sold, then they would have good results. And of course, the one guy who had 5 talents, he produced 5 more. He doubled what he had. The one who had 2, he also doubled what he had. But the one that had only 1, he did not double anything. He simply put it in the ground and hid it. Now, everyone, all of our lives, we buy and sell. Our lives are about buying and selling. If you think economics, it's so much an integral part of human existence in one fashion or another. Everyone buys and sells, including with God. With God, we are also constantly buying and selling. Those people who had those talents, they invested. And then they had a return on their investment. We do the same thing. We also invest with God, with spirituality, with our eternities. We invest. And hopefully a person invests and they invest well and they get a good return on that investment. We must invest in that which is profitable for our eternity. We must invest in our eternity. Sometimes people go as Christians through life and they kind of float. They don't really take any steps of faith. They don't really have investment. They don't really get to know God on an intimate basis, even though they may be saved. That's a dangerous place to be as far as our eternity goes. Because our eternity in 2 Corinthians 5:10 is based on things that have taken place in our body. And it's not talking about our salvation, it's talking about our condition in heaven. It's based on things that we have done in this body. In other words, it's based on how we invest, it's based on how we buy or sell in our eternity. It's astonishing sometimes how much work people go through to invest perhaps in the stock market. And they research, they work, they hire people, they do all kinds of stuff. People study this in universities. They hire professionals so that they can invest well. Because they realize that if they invest well, they will get a good return on their investment. Sometimes people want to invest in other things, and their children is one of the most common things. And they go to self-help books in some cases. They'll go to psychologists, counselors, what have you, if their child is having problems. Because they want to invest well in their children, so their children get a good return on the investment. But the question is, how do you invest in your own eternity? Understand that the reality is, and this is not a secret, this is nothing anyone can or even tries to deny, You're only here for a short period of time. If you live to be 120 years old, you're only here for a short period of time. I was astonished the other day when I realized that it's been 25 years since the beginning of this new century. It's a quarter over already. I'm still tempted to write 1998 on my checks. And this century is already a quarter over. I was talking to a young woman. She was born in this century, but she is an adult. She was born in the 2000s and she is an adult. Blew my mind when I realized that. And people think, well, then you're not paying attention. Maybe I'm not, but that's only because it goes so fast, this little sliver of time that we are given. It goes so fast. You don't have a lot of time to make investments. So you have to ask yourself, how well am I investing? Because the return that you get on investment is the return you will have to last you all eternity. The investment is made now in time. The return comes in eternity. So, how well are you investing? You need to invest in your eternity. If you're not, you particularly need to invest in your eternity more than you need to invest in anything in time. Matthew 13:44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." God put you in time to invest in opportunities of faith. If you found a treasure in a field, and that treasure you found, of course, is very valuable. That's why it's called a treasure. Perhaps it's much more than you possess now. Then you might also hide that treasure in the ground in the field and then go after the owner and seek to buy the field. Because you know that whatever investment you put into that field would yield a treasure that is far more valuable than the investment. And this is how it works in the kingdom of heaven. The investment that you make now in time, utilizing your opportunities of faith, that will produce a return in eternity that is far beyond what you have invested in time. Not only is it far beyond in quantity, it's far beyond, infinitely beyond in duration. So this investing principle is extremely important. But often we don't recognize it. We live our lives as though we live here and it ends here and our soul will go to heaven someday and the two are in no way connected and I'll be separated from this world, this body in heaven, and I've got news for you. You're already seated above in heavenly places in Ephesians 2:6 at the right hand of God because you've been raised together with him. There's not a separation. The address is different, yes. But there's not a separation. You're already one person with Christ. Your position is already in Christ. You're already seated in heavenly places. There's not a separation. What you have here versus what you have there, and there is something you do have here that you do not have there, is opportunity for investments of faith. Once you have left here, those opportunities will be over, and your return for eternity in heaven is going to be entirely based, 100%, on the investments you made here on earth. You need to invest in your eternity. In Matthew 25:21, the one who invested the 5 talents and got 5 more, his Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done. You invested your 500 pounds of gold, and now I'm going to make you a king. Well, that is an investment that produced a return that is far beyond the investment. That is an investment that was highly valuable. That is an investment that when that person reaches heaven, the cost of the investment will have been a pittance next to the return. We get these kind of returns on our investments here in time, with the return coming in eternity. People invest and they buy and sell here, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that at all. But understand that that is the smaller portion. God desires to give you the bigger portion. If you're a skilled businessman and you make a lot of money here, or if you know how to invest well into the markets and you make a lot of money here, more power to you. Good for you. But how do you invest in your eternity? Because whatever you get here, whatever return you get on your investment, on your labors, what have you here, that's going to pass away. And it's not going to last longer than your lifetime. Oh, you might be able to give it to your kids, but your benefit, and even their benefit, will expire. And it's not going to be long. But the investment in heaven is forever. That return has no end. If I reign with Christ, I will always reign with Christ. If I receive multitudes of rewards, I will always have those multitudes of rewards. Over here, your investment, you can spend it and you lose it if you don't keep it up. Over there, you receive it, but you can't run out of it once you have received it. It's a better investment, and it lasts infinitely longer. Use your investments toward the kingdom of God. It will 100% guarantee determine your condition in eternity. We read things like that some people will be ashamed at the Bema Seat. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not be ashamed. Some people will be ashamed because the return on their investment will be very small or even non-existent. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that there will be people who get zero returns on their investments here in time. Their returns will be burned up in the fiery trial because their investments were not eternal investments. Their condition is going to be saved, the Bible makes it clear, yet as by fire. Imagine, and I don't think this is a particularly bad comparison, those poor people in the Los Angeles area who are losing their homes to those fires. Imagine if they can't regain a home. They'll still live where they live, but they can't rebuild. You know, there are people like that in heaven. I'm not saying they're homeless per se. What I am saying, they can't regain what they've lost with squandered opportunities. That will never come back to them for eternity. There will be no heavenly rebuilding. There will be no heavenly insurance policy saying, okay, you squandered, but the insurance policy will pay so that you can have. That doesn't exist in heaven. God arranged it such that you can have maximum, but you have to make the investment. In the market, sometimes people say, I wish I had invested in Microsoft early. Bitcoin's another one right now, right? If I had invested all my money in Bitcoin a year ago, I'd be really rich now. Why do you think that way toward the earth, but not toward eternity, not toward heaven, not toward where your life really is? Your life isn't here. This is a preparation room. You're a sojourner only. You're passing through. You're not going to stay long. But yet you invest in things that you can't keep. And you trade what you could have kept. That's not a good trade. Invest in your eternity. God tells us how. We're going to get to that in just a second. God tells us how. Invest in your eternity. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are owned by God. You are owned by Him if you are born again. If you're not owned by God, you need to be born again. You need to get saved. You need to accept Christ as your Savior. You are owned by God. That necessarily means that you are responsible, just like those servants, to make right investments. Now, you're not going to be in it alone. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. He, in John 16:13, will guide you in the investments that you make, but you must be willing to make them. Not every believer is a spirit-led, spirit-filled believer. Not every believer is being guided by the Holy Spirit because they're not available. But the Holy Spirit is there. The Word of God is there. Doctrine, pastors, the body of Christ is there. And it's there to help you to make wise investments in your eternity. No, you might not get a big return here in time, but you know what? Who cares? You're not staying. You want a return where you will be forever. Sometimes people, and this is very common, look for a forever home and they're not content until they find a forever home. And they invest everything they have in a forever home. And that's perfectly fine. But you know what? Your forever home here in time is not forever. There is a forever home, and yet some people will absolutely refuse to invest in their actual, real, forever home. Invest in your eternity. I wish I could get this into people's minds. Invest in your eternity. It will determine your condition for eternity. You invest simply in time for time, you're losing all of it. But you can't lose the investments that you make in eternity. They always carry a return. And you want the return to be particularly good. In verse 24 of Matthew 25, then he who had received one talent, this is speaking of a carnal believer, we know he's a believer because he called him Lord. You refer to the master as Lord. He who received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. The word knew there refers to perception or understanding. This servant's perception was not based in faith that works by love. He did not know the heart of the master. He did not know what his master was really about. People, for example, who are occupied with the law do not often know the heart of the master. They know law. They know standard. They don't know love. Yet he is love in 1 John 4:8. And then it continues, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. This is a poor translation. There should be a comma and the phrase, did you? You knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gathered where I have not scattered? Really? Did you? Is that it? Is that a fact? Of course, saying that this is a complete and total misperception and a lack of understanding of the master. He had a false accusation in his heart against his master, and therefore he was afraid of him, and he was afraid to utilize the talent. He was a carnal believer, not knowing the love of God, not possessing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not knowing who Christ actually is, albeit he was a believer. He was saved. That's why he was a servant. Then it continues in verse 27, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. You know, even a carnal believer that possesses no fruit, if he gets hid in the body of Christ, he will grow. He may not have fruit. He may have all kinds of weaknesses. He may have all kinds of problems. He may even have sin in his life, whatever it is. If he hides himself in a body of Christ where the Word of God is being preached in its full counsel, where the Spirit of Christ has freedom to move, not in emotionalism, but in the message, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, where people love one another, then he will grow. There's no excuse even for the carnal believer to not have an increase, because at least in the body of Christ, there will be growth. There will be an increase. Loss of opportunity is loss of God's time investment, and it means that you have invested poorly. Or you have not invested at all. There are people who do not invest at all. They are saved. They're not in the body. They live unto themselves. They may be moral. They may be good people. But they're not spiritual. They don't have a relationship with Christ in an experiential sense. They will go to heaven when they die, but only as by fire. And there will be nothing for them. I don't know what God does in terms of his grace toward them as far as mansions. That will be revealed, but I do know that there will be shame involved, disappointment, really, disappointment involved. Not shame like we think I'm embarrassed, but I'm disappointed. Disappointment's rough. You could have, but you didn't. But you could have. It's like that example, people who are disappointed because they did not invest in somebody like Microsoft or Bitcoin at the right time where they could have had a great reward. It's similar to that. Great disappointment because it could have been good, could have been wealthy, could have been all that much better. But it won't be, ever. Be careful when you hear a message like this about condemnation. There will be some people who tend to get condemned. Condemnation is Satan's hiding place from conviction. There is no condemnation in Romans 8:1. It only comes as Satan's hiding place to keep you from conviction, from getting right with God. So if you're listening to this and you're having an issue right now with condemnation, Satan's trying to protect you from getting right with God. In Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit, righteousness and peace. We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit through relationship. How do I invest in this? How do I invest such that I will have fruit as my investment? Fruit is referred to as precious stones in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. How do I get that? John 15:5 says, if you keep yourself in the love of God and the word of God remains in your frame of reference, you will have much fruit. That's a well worthwhile investment, because in 1 Corinthians 3:12, there are three types of specific rewards that we can lose, but we don't have to lose: gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold are the things of faith. Silver are the things of redemption. Precious stones are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So I enter into gold by faith responses, mixing faith with what I hear, applying what I hear in a faith-to-faith process in Romans 1:17, and that is a well worthwhile investment. That has some serious returns. Silver, redemption, anything of redemption, forgiveness, graciousness, kindness. If somebody sins against me, I show them mercy. If I sin, I accept mercy. Those are silver. Those are worthwhile investments. And then, of course, keeping yourself in the love of God and the word of God in your frame of reference, that's the precious stones. Those are worthwhile investments. Great riches to be reaped from those, and they will never be taken away. They won't diminish by use. They are yours for eternity once you possess them. The return is permanent. The return comes at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, and it's permanent. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What does this mean, in power? Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the cross is the power of God. So the kingdom of God comes through a cross. I pick up my cross and I follow my Savior. The cross is not something I can choose to pick up. I choose to receive the situation, the condition whereby the cross is produced in me. So I choose to keep myself in the love of God. I choose to have the word of God in my frame of reference. I choose to live faith to faith. I reckon myself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, and I recognize this is a historical reality. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. So in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, I live in the oneness that I have with my Savior. That's a well worthwhile investment. How do I do that? Word, prayer, humility, mixing faith. Those are worthwhile investments. You want to invest in your eternity in such a way that you get maximum returns. In 1 Timothy 1:9, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Our investment is not through striving, not through trying to do. Our investment is in faith response. And that faith response is always established, number one, in the Word, number two, in the finished work of Christ, number three, in the love of God. Those are my investments. God invested in me, now I invest in God's investment. It's like a mutual fund. A company starts a mutual fund and I invest in their investment. The return can be quite high. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Romans 5:3-5 shows us how that works. The affliction produces patience, which is the first manifestation of the love of God. That patience gives me practical experience with God, where my position becomes my experience. That experience with God gives me a confident expectation that the Bible calls hope, which then produces the love of God in me. This is a good investment. Enduring the infliction, not fighting against it, not kicking against the pricks, not being negative toward the circumstance or the person through whom the affliction is coming. That affliction gives you a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And of course, the glory of God is found in the love of God. Why do people curse their opportunities for a very healthy, happy, wealthy eternity? And yet they curse the opportunity because it takes an affliction. It's like cursing the surgeon for having to use a scalpel to cut you open to fix your heart. You know what? If my heart needs fixing and the surgeon can only do it through a scalpel, and the surgeon is good, I say, have at it. Because I want to reap the benefit. Well, there's a benefit to be reaped, including in your affliction. And that benefit is eternal. And it's powerful and it's huge. It's not something anyone will ever regret when they've gotten there. They will say, hallelujah, thank God. I'm so glad I went through that. In Revelation 2:26, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, and the works he's speaking of, Jesus was asked, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And he answered, believe on him whom he has sent. This is the work. He who keeps my works, he who overcomes and continues to trust Christ until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. This is no small potatoes. In verse 28, and I will give him the morning star, the highest order for any believer in heaven. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So that you may overcome, so that you may trust God. So that you may have power over nations, so that you may, in fact, experience being a king. You've been faithful in little. You overcame a little. I will make you ruler over much. In James 1:12, the man who endures temptation, that's not talking about necessarily temptation for sin. It can. It's really talking about testings and tribulations in Revelation 2:10. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Crowns are incredible rewards. Crowns give you all sorts of honor and power and wealth in heaven. It gives you incredible position with God in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, run that you may obtain the prize. Run the race so that you obtain the prize. Some Christians aren't even running the race. If you're not investing, you're not running the race. If you're not responding in faith, you're not running the race. If you're not trusting God, if you're not growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, if you're not getting to know Him in an intimate fashion, you're not running the race. Run that you may obtain the prize. But everyone striving controls himself in all things, that he may receive an incorruptible crown. I discipline my life in my investments into eternity. Mary and Martha are a good example of this. Martha was very good in her discipline toward the details of life. Mary was very good in her discipline toward the investments of eternity. Sometimes if you have a relationship with someone, be it a friendship or a family relationship, spouses, what have you, and the one is deeply disciplined toward details of life outside of eternity, and the other is deeply disciplined toward eternity, you can have some conflict. You can have some friction going on. And I'm not saying that Martha was wrong. It was wrong in that particular circumstance. We do have to be responsible. Nobody is saying that we do not. We do have to carry on. And if we can do well in life, then that's great. All the better. But it does not outweigh in any measure the responsibility of investing in eternity. Because those things of the world, and they are not wrong, but they're not eternal. The things that are eternal will remain. And that doesn't mean don't be responsible in the things of the world. But that is not your primary focus, and it must not be. Again, if you have skill, talent, know-how, whatever, and you can invest elements of your time in such a way that you become wealthy, nice house, whatever, fine, nothing wrong with it. But it's not more important in any measure than your investment in eternity. And if the worldly investment takes the place of the eternal one, then you've suffered great loss. It's a bad investment. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, Paul said. I have kept the faith. For the rest, the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. And not only to me, but also to all the ones loving his appearance. Fighting the good fight of faith, that is a good investment. Never letting go of faith. Never stop trusting God. That's a good investment. Finishing the course, never stepping out of your call. This is one that I've seen so many people fail in. In some cases, they were my teachers in Bible college, wonderful believers. I used to think of them as titans in the faith. And I thought to myself, I would like to be like that one day. But they didn't finish the course for whatever variety of reasons. They didn't finish the course. Some people don't finish the course, but remain religious. But the course isn't in your production. The course is in your relationship to Christ. The course is in how you apply the Word of God. The course is in your life of faith to faith as the just live by faith. That's the course. It's possible to even be a pastor, but not live by doctrine. To not minister in your ministry by doctrine. To say, this is different, doctrine doesn't apply here. You didn't finish the course. You can get right, you can get back on the course. But if that's the way that you end things, you have not finished the course. There are people who fall away. Beautiful believers enter into sin and they don't finish the course. They can get right, they can come back, but often they don't. And they don't finish the course. I'm not saying that finishing the course means your perfection. You do the best you can, utilizing the Word of God in your details of life, thinking with God and practicing rebound when you fail. That's how you finish the course, but that's really good investment. In 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jude 1:21, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord unto eternal life. In Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. In Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, knowing how to apply the word, when to apply it, how to apply it, and so on. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added unto you. These are our investments in eternity. You don't have to have a lot of ability. You just have to be willing. The one guy had more ability, so God gave him 5 talents. And the other guy had less ability, and God gave him 2 talents. And the third guy had just a little bit of ability, and God gave him 1 talent. But why did he have so little ability? Because he didn't know the nature of God. He didn't know God. He had no capacity. But then he should have gotten buried into the body of Christ, where at least there could have been some interest, some growth on the investment. And the ones that had investment, they both doubled theirs. And they both received the same commendation. You've been faithful in a little, you will be ruler over much. Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome. Enter the joy of the Lord. But the one guy, he was saved, but only as by fire. In Matthew 25:13, it continues, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Watch, invest now. Don't be slothful in your investments in eternity. Invest now, continue investing, and never stop investing every moment of your days. Invest in your eternity. You don't know when he's coming. Only what you have invested in and its increase is what you will have for eternity. If the increase is large, you're gonna be one happy camper. If the increase is small or none, you'll be greatly disappointed. Invest in your eternity and do it continuously. You don't know how much of an opportunity you have left. So invest in the opportunity that you have. Amen.
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."